Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor, supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10 weeks program. To know more about these offerings, check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Now today, I want to share with you an experience I've had, so a personal experience. To speak to how deeply the impact that a narcissistic mother can have in our life, how deep it can go. So I want to start by asking you, do you ever wonder how much of your life has actually been impacted by your narcissistic mother? How much of who you are is truly you and how much is because of her? Have you ever asked yourself that? Did you discover maternal narcissism and trauma work only to realize your childhood has impacted everything in your life? Are you beginning to realize that? But how deep does this all go? Is there an end to this inner work? I get these last two questions quite a bit from clients and also from you listeners when you're sending me emails. And I have to admit that I have asked myself the same from time to time. And if I am being fully honest, I have asked myself if there's an end to this work in extreme frustration, going through like some waves of really deep emotions and feeling really horrible maybe, or feeling very frustrated and be like, is there an end to this? Like, do I have to do this for how long? So if you've been there, if you felt this way, I really truly get it. I have been there. So today, as I said, I want to share with you a personal experience I had just short of 2 weeks ago. And the reason why I want to share this with you is because it gave me yet another confirmation of how deep the patterns we form in childhood go, and how subconsciously we keep creating pain and suffering for ourselves as a result of it. And this is not coming from any judgment or from any fault that you may have. If you resonate, like if you've realized that that's what you're doing in your life, I have been doing this and this is an example of how I still do this. These patterns drive us from the subconscious and they do create pain and suffering. They're not helpful patterns. They have been helpful at times in our childhood when we had no choice and when we had no tools. But now they're not actually helpful anymore. Pretty much 99.9% of the times. So to get to what happened, with my husband and daughters, we went to Dublin to see Lindsay Stirling in concert. I don't know if you're familiar with her music. If you're not, definitely go check it out, as her music is truly amazing and her message is very, very inspiring. That aside, two things happened to me at the concert that I want to share with you as real examples of how experiences we have in childhood as daughters of narcissistic mothers get locked in and then patterns start, which last a lifetime if we don't become aware of them. So the first thing was upon arriving at the theater. We lingered in the hall outside the auditorium to get snacks and t-shirts. So nothing unusual about that, right? Like, I mean, that's what everyone does when they're going to a concert. But the more we stayed there, and we were there in good time. So we had plenty of time to do that. It's a spacious place, so it wasn't overly crowded or anything like that. So it was all like really, really good and well organized. But the more we stayed there, the more anxious I got. Apparently for no reason. I didn't want to be separated from my husband and my daughters. I felt really upset and anxious if they decided, oh, I want to go and get a snack here, or I want to go and get this other thing there. And I really felt very anxious if my husband would say, oh, you guys stay here for a minute at this table and I'm just going to go and see if I can get a drink or whatever. So all of that was making me progressively more anxious, and I really had to breathe into it to try and keep myself grounded. I do have the tools. I can navigate the wave, but what surprised me was that I got so overly anxious in a situation that actually was really, really okay. And this has happened to me before, mainly actually in airports or in other situations where there is some sort of time pressure. Because there was a time pressure, we had to get into the auditorium by a certain time. So, like there were like the ladies that were organizing the thing were calling, saying, okay, like in 10 minutes you have to be in and stuff like that. And so this has happened to me before, and for years I've been labeled as the paranoid, anxious, overly reactive one who doesn't like busy places, who gets like that around people, who just can't handle a little bit of chaos, though it wasn't even a chaotic place. But like those were the labels, and I actually fully believed these about myself for a very, very long time. And it has caused conflict in relationships, and I have been judged quite a lot on this, but I sort of felt like, okay, that's just a broken part of me. That's nothing I can do about this. And I believed in the labels until obviously the work of the past few years. I now know that all of these patterns originate somewhere, and that the dysregulation that follows can be navigated with tools. So I have this awareness now, but that doesn't mean that those things don't still happen and get triggered. So when we finally got seated in the actual auditorium, a memory came to me of when I was about 6 or 7. And at that point, we typically went on holidays via train with my grandmother. And she often was she, and that's what she often did is what came back to me. And she would be putting myself and my sister, who is 5 years younger than me. So if I was 7, she was 2, okay? She would put us on the train, and then she would go back off the train and go inside the station. Now that I was in Florence as a child in Italy, and Florence train station is quite a big station. So if you're leaving someone on a train and walking all the way back into the main building of the station, it's quite the trek, okay? And so she would leave us there to go and get maybe herself a coffee or like to buy a magazine for the trip. And I had a watch on me, so I knew that maybe there were only like 10 minutes before the actual train would depart and leave the station. And I felt anxious. I felt so afraid as a kid that the train would start and that she'd be left behind, leaving us kids alone. Like she was the only adult that was with us at the time. And what came to me when I was sitting there, waiting for the concert to start, was the feeling was the exact same of what I had experienced just a few minutes previous. My nervous system reacts to time-sensitive situations and being separated by the people that you're with as an unsafe situation since those times, since when I was left on the train by granny. That's how trauma works. As a child, I didn't have the tools to understand that she had calculated the timings. Of course, she was never left behind, and of course, she always came on time. But as a child, I didn't know that. I didn't have that certainty. And when I actually expressed my upset to her, I was told that I was paranoid and overly reactive, and there's the label to go with the pattern, just like that. So this is important to understand when you're dealing with trauma. I said that before on this podcast, and this is what experts on this say all the time. Like Dr. Gabor Mate will repeat this over and over again. Trauma is not the experience. Is how you've gone through the experience. So it's not being left on the train that is the actual traumatic experience necessarily, but it's like you're left without having any idea of what's going on. So the way the child me went through that was extremely traumatic for me. And then when I actually voiced that, that was another chance to make the experience not traumatic, because if someone just gives you understanding and then explains and then sort of gives you a hug and goes, okay, well, if that's what's happening, I blah 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 blah. That didn't happen. That was like, oh, shut up. Like, this is like, you're just being overreactive. This is nonsense. And that's it. So that's what happens. And then the system brings that up again and it gets triggered again, and then all of a sudden you feel super dysregulated in a situation that rationally, so from for other people that haven't been through the same things that you've been through, rationally there's no sense in your reaction. Your reaction is completely ridiculous when applied to the actual present current situation that you're in. And yet, it's a very real experience for you, isn't it? It was a very real experience for me, standing in that hall outside the auditorium, feeling like I was in danger, like my body felt an incredible sense of anxiety. And that is a real experience. So we're going to go through what we can do about this, of course. But it's just, this was really important for me to share. So how many labels have you got on yourself? Either placed by others or yourself even, as a result of what others said to you. And how often are those labels confirmed for you? Because that's the thing, when things like that happen and we're not aware of where the whole thing started, that's like confirmation. Oh, you see, I am actually a very anxious person. Oh, you see, I am actually paranoid, because there's no reason to be anxious right now, and yet I am. So it must be true that I'm an overreactive paranoid person. And it's not. There is actually a reason why all of this has started. None of those labels are actually you. And none of that is true about you. So what can you do when you become aware that all these labels that you believe to be true about yourself are the result of trauma and coping strategies from childhood? First of all, you gain more and more awareness of unhelpful patterns within yourself. Like, you start recognizing that these are patterns. Second, you get to know that you're not broken or messed up. These aspects of you came from somewhere, and none of it is your fault. You're not inherently messed up. You're not messed up at all, actually. Those are just very natural reaction to a traumatic experience that happened long ago. Third, you can communicate better with people around you. Like in this example, I could share with my husband and express my needs in the situation. And I also shared this story that came up for me with him, that clarified a lot for him and allowed him to understand me better. And lastly, you can use tools of self-regulation to navigate a situation that may still remain challenging for you. You know, even with all the awareness, triggers can still happen, okay? And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're doing the work wrong. It can still happen. I have a lot of awareness of these things. I've been doing this work for years, and yet it still gets triggered, okay? There's layers to it, and it happens. But you can use the tools, because as a child, you didn't have the choice, but now you have. As an adult, you can face it, and you do have different tools now at your disposal. Now, a question that I get very often at this point is, oh, do I need to get the full memory of when a pattern started in order to heal it? And not necessarily. Once you have the awareness that unhelpful patterns have started somewhere in your childhood and are not inherently you, so you stop shaming yourself about it, you stop feeling like you're broken, that can actually be enough. The next time you feel dysregulated in a situation, you can use the tools you know work for you to gently support your system, like breath, for example. And the more you practice these tools daily, the more accessible they become for you. So you do that, and then you bring your body back to gently feeling regulated, so you navigate the wave. That's okay. You don't need to go back to the memory. Now, sometimes by doing that, memories do emerge, because in the safety of feeling more regulated, the body can allow to unlock these memories that have been locked in there. So that can happen, but it's not necessary. In the past, a situation like the concert would have had me feeling awful for the entire experience. So I would have had that triggering experience at the beginning, and it would have lingered for the whole duration of the whole thing. Maybe I would have been fighting with my husband because he maybe left me to go get like a bottle of water or whatever, and then giving out to my girls for wanting to go and see things or do things. And I would have been upset all the way after too. So it would have been a very long, upset experience with the tools I practice all the time. This was a very simple situation, ultimately. It was intense in the moment. Yes, I got triggered and stuff, but it was just very short-lived. I was able to go through the waves and speak it to my family and have a great experience, all in the space of a few minutes. So that's the difference. The more you practice, and I know we touched on this with Janique on the podcast of the special episode last week. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you can go back and listen to that. I'll put the link in the description of this episode. But you can go through intense waves, but when you can practice the tools, then you can bring yourself back relatively quickly. The more you practice, it's a training. So it doesn't just happen overnight. It is a training, but that is available, and it's available for everyone that has the consistency and discipline to do this work. And that is what we work on in the women's circles and in the one-on-one all the time. Now, there's another experience of the same day that I want to share with you. And this is one I will remember for a long, long time. Now, that the one I just shared also was pretty, was a big insight for me. But this one here was like mind-blowing personally for me. So it all goes back to the concert still. Lindsay Sterling is a wonderful artist. And she expresses her creativity through words, music, dancing, incredible choreography. So I loved it. But I also cried my eyes out for a good portion of the concert. And I realized I was grieving my own perceived lack of creativity. My mother always told me how not creative I was. She'd say that Capricorns are, I'm a Capricorn, by the way, so Capricorns are pragmatic. They're not creative. She told me this again and again and again. So please, if you are a Capricorn listening in out there, know that this isn't true. As in, yeah, we may have practical sides, but we can be incredibly creative. And the same goes for any other star sign. You can actually be anything you want to be. Those are labels. Okay? Labels, labels, labels. They can be intended to understand ourselves better. I don't have anything against astrology or any other system that allows you to understand yourself better. But when we use them as labels that limit us, that I've learned is not very helpful. Definitely has not been helpful for me. But all the same, aside from that, I believe this to be true for so long. As a child, I loved music and singing. I loved dancing. I loved painting and drawing, and I loved writing and crafting. I was very creative as a child. But my mother would say, you're only good at copying things, never at doing something new. Or you're unable to be creative and consistent, so you're just going to start something and then I'm just going to leave it there. So I packed it all up. And I went down the paths of horses and personal healing because they were approved. Now, don't get me wrong, I love my horses. And I absolutely love the healing journey I've been on, as it has been absolutely necessary. And I worked, and I love the work that I do now here with you as a result of my own inner work. So I don't look back on these things and go, I hated them. I actually love, there's aspects of these things that I love deeply. But also that was a journey, as I had to find my own spin on these things. And I did it in the past few years, because for a while I was only doing what my mother had told me I should do. She often defines herself as the pathfinder for people, declaring that the path she showed people was the only one right for them. And so she did the same for me. And after years of inner work and of releasing layers of limiting beliefs, I got to feel I can be creative. I actually got there. So this was not unrelated to the concert. It's been the work of years. But I did get to the point where I'm like, no, those were labels. I am actually able to be creative. And I allowed myself to write novels and to do other creative things. But there was still another layer. And it came out after the concert. So after all that crying and that, when we were in the car on the way back, I was reflecting, and it just came to me, my mother is actually not creative at all. And again, plenty of trauma there with her own mother. So I'm not saying that that's her by nature, but definitely whatever experience she's had in her own childhood didn't bring her to develop any creativity. And she has always said, like out loud, that she can't draw, or how bad she's at singing and dancing, And that was a part of it. So, like, she can't do these things. That's her perceived reality. And at the same time, as a child, what I've seen her doing has been completely put down and cut any relationship with anyone that succeeded at something that she wasn't good at. And that for me was like the biggest insight the other day. How could I do something that she wasn't able to do if that meant that I would lose her attachment? As a child, I've learned that, okay, so if when someone is better than her at something, she effectively eliminates them from her life. She's done that with husbands, she's done that with friends, she's done that with everyone around her. If I get better at something that she's not, so if I allow myself to be fully creative when she's saying that she's not able to do that, she will cut me out of her life. That's what happens in the brain of a child, and it's perfectly okay that that happens because that's just a coping strategy. As we said many times, attachment for a child is a priority over authenticity. So you need to keep those attachment needs met. And that was a very wise choice of my child self to go, okay, let's pack in creativity because that ain't safe. You know, if you go down that road, she will stop being your mother. She will stop talking to you, which she wasn't much of a mother anyways, but that bit that she was around, I clearly craved that attachment. So the interesting thing was also that she actually got creative at writing and even published a couple of books. So it hit me then. I was like, wow. So I allowed myself to explore writing because she has done it. So I can actually do that and still maintain some kind of attachment because she has kind of done it. So if I do it and I don't get like super good at it, like I just remain below the level of what she's done, then I'm still safe. So that was really interesting for me. The layer of limiting belief that comes from trauma in my childhood is I can't ever be better than my mother at anything, or I lose the attachment. I need to keep myself small, or I'll be abandoned and rejected. And how this is very interesting is that this has impacted everything in my life. I've had this pattern subconsciously, like below layers and layers and layers, in my love relationships, in every friendship I've had, in my work and work relationships, you name it. So this is all to say that the process of healing mother wounds from the trauma caused by various degrees of maternal narcissism that you may have experienced in your life is a process of releasing layers of beliefs that are not yours, of letting go of labels that have nothing to do with the real you, of unpacking trauma that is stored in the body that is not you. And that these patterns, these patterns go really, 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 really deep. And from that place, deep, 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 they actually impact everything. And this sounds ominous. Like, I get it. This sounds like, oh my God, are you really saying this to us? I am, because it's how it works. It's like they create a blueprint in your system that then is the lens and filter through which we see reality, and it gets confirmation all the time. It kind of wants confirmation all the time, so it's gonna get confirmation. So much like the experience in the hall of the auditorium, the pattern is to feel anxious because there's this like childhood trauma that if someone gets separated and there's a time sensitive thing, blah blah blah, then out of that pattern there's that dysregulation of anxiety, and then confirmation of the label comes because every time that you are anxious, that I'm anxious or whatever in a situation like that, people tell me that I am an anxious person. I keep telling them myself, and I keep confirming that label over and over and over. And the same with this, like I believed that there's no way to keep someone around you loving you or appreciating you if you allow yourself to shine fully. So if I went full on who I am, my authentic self, I'm gonna lose people around me, and so I always have to keep this like dampener on myself, and be less than what I would be, just to keep people around me happy and just to keep them. So you can see how that impacts everything. That actually has impacted the relationship with my children even. It has impacted everything. Everything. And so this process that I just speak to of healing mother wounds, you know, to go through the trauma and heal that and unpacking that and releasing layers of belief that are not yours and all of that, this is a lifetime journey. Not a weekend retreat experience. And I would be lying to you if I said it any different. And this is not because you're broken and you need eternal fixing, but because you are beautiful, you're an amazing human being with so much expansion available ahead of you, and it needs this time to unfold. It needs this time to go through all the different layers. And also to expand, safety is needed. And that safety needs to be found within gently regulating your nervous system, so retraining your nervous system to find that safety, which in turn allows you to move through layers of stuff that would otherwise hold you back. Why have these insights come to me now, like just a couple of weeks ago at the concert? Because there has been so much safety that I've brought into my nervous system through a lot of different tools, a lot of work. A lot of safety has come into my relationship with my husband, thankfully, with a lot of work that we've done together. So that deep brings up deeper and deeper insights. Now, does that mean that you have to be clear of it all and fully healed before you can be happy and authentic? Because that's another question I get very often. Absolutely not, is the answer. First of all, there's no such thing as being fully clear of everything and completely arrived or completely healed or whatever, as life will keep bringing stuff up. That's just the nature of life. So there's no finish line. And also, this work is not linear. It's not a work from A to B, you know, from broken to fixed, from messed up to normal. None of that. This journey is like everything else in nature. It is a cyclical journey. It alternates between expansion and contraction phases over and over in a spiraling upward motion. And when we have no awareness and live completely from subconscious patterns that were caused by trauma, of course, constantly suppressing and numbing, believing into labels, we are in a prolonged frozen state. That's what happens inside. Subconsciously doing anything to avoid the contraction phase, because that feels scary. We don't want to go back to the pain that we've experienced growing up, so we're doing anything to prevent going back to that pain. Like that feeling of anxiety at the outside of the auditorium, or that incredible level of grieving for not being able to be myself, or otherwise I'll lose attachment. We don't want to feel that again. And that's perfectly, I get it. I mean, it's not pleasant. So we don't want to feel that again. It's intense. And so we do anything not to go in that contraction phase so that we can kind of survive. We feel that that's the only way to survive. But that ends up with you feeling stuck. And I know I've been there. Feeling stuck was like I feel so fucking stuck. Excuse me for cursing. That was what I was saying all the time. Because our very nature seeks expansion. And when this does not feel possible, we suffer. When we're not authentic, that's the greatest pain for a human being. And when we don't expand, that feels so, so inauthentic and so, so painful. And there can't be expansion without the contraction phase. So we can't find the expansion if we don't learn to go into those waves of scary, painful places and navigate and retrain and learn that there's safety even going through those. If we can't do that, we don't get expansion. Undealt with trauma has us believing that there's no safe way out, that things are out of reach or out of our control, that we're powerless in the hands of others. This is a theme that is quite actually being triggered at the moment in many places in the world. And that the feeling of being stuck is us being inherently broken or dysfunctional, so that we need to be fixed, and we go to different things in order to get fixed. But that's not the thing. There's nothing to be fixed in you. So once you start on this journey that I'm talking about, you gently open up pathways of safety and expansion in your system, which then gets that feeling of being stuck to go away. So first you start doing things that bring safety, like finding a support group that where you feel safe, like learning to self-regulate and so on, finding a mentor that helps you through this. This allows expansion to come gently, one step at a time. The next contraction phase happens so you can get to feel into a new layer. Because too much expansion without feeling into it is not sustainable. That's forced, rationalized, positive thinking, and that's really not helpful. That's really not helpful. It doesn't work. It's always going to catch up with you. And once you've been through the wave of contraction and move through another layer, then expansion comes again, and so on and so on and so on. And the contraction feels less and less and less intense. It always feels intense, but it's less scary and horrifying and devastating. If that's like, if I compare the waves of that I can get now to where I was like a few years ago. Like a few years ago when I was going through like a contraction phase, that would floor me for days and weeks at the time. Now it doesn't. Now it's just, it can be even a couple of days, but not ever like down to the crazy levels of intensity that it used to be. And the expansion feels more expansive every time. It feels like way better, and then way better, and they were way better. That's why, as I say, cyclical, but it's like an upward spiral. So the contractions feels less crappy, and the expansions feels more expansive the more you do this work. And this keeps on going. Layer by layer, you uncover the real authentic you with all the parts that make you you. And this way you access liberated living. And this is what Women Reclaiming Their Fullness is all about. This is how you reclaim the fullness of your life. This is what we do together in the Women Circles community. We support each other on this journey of self-discovery and self-liberation. You can call it a healing journey, but it's ultimately like we've all been through some degree of trauma in our childhood. The society that we live in has kind of made sure of that. So whether your mother was highly, highly narcissistic, or maybe she just had like some aspects of her behavior that were narcissistic, there's a spectrum. Or maybe she was super well-intentioned and she still did things that caused some trauma. I don't think my grandmother, when she was bringing us on holidays, although she is a vulnerable narcissist and I spoke to this, but she wasn't intending into traumatizing me and possibly my sister, I don't know, leaving us on the train. But that just happened anyways. So we've all been through some degree of trauma, and this work, these practices, these tools are really necessary to live the expansive, authentic life that we're meant to be living, that we're here to live. The life is meant to be expansive, not in terms of having more and doing more. I'm not talking about that kind of expansion. That's an outer expansion, and whatever, it has its place if that's what you're looking for. I'm not judging anyone. I'm talking here though about the inner sense of expansion, the feeling of feeling more and more yourself, the feeling of feeling more and more at peace with yourself, at ease, the feeling of feeling more and more able to enjoy things and be more and more happy in yourself. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about expansion. And that's available for everyone. that's something that is available for everyone. So yeah, that was what I wanted to share with you today from a very, very personal experience. And I hope this was helpful. Let me know if you have any questions. And you can always send me questions at on my email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and lots of love. Bye for now.